even to the unbelieving world that stands in defiance of God. Even the unbelieving world that has so distorted the truth that their clothes are stained with guilt and sometimes literally stained with their own sin. God says through his apostle, he says, show them mercy. But don't misunderstand, as Jude says. Don't get comfortable with sin.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. Rock solid hope for Rim Country. November 24th, 2024. Jude 20-25.
I imagine some of you have experienced an unfinished project before, the types of setbacks it can have. Maybe especially this time of year as the colder temperatures start to come in. I had a meeting where I met with one of our sister congregations and area pastors this week. Some of you might be able to hear that I have a little bit of a cold that I'm getting over. But I thought, yeah, I could pull through the meeting. It'll be fine. Until I show up and somebody informs me the furnace wasn't working. And then we took a tour of the building, the unfinished building, and they pointed out to the furnace, here's our furnace, it's not hooked up yet. And so I sat through the meeting, starting to shiver and feel cold. But it wasn't their fault. They explained how the workers just didn't want to show up and finish the building on time. And so it was the crews that needed to do the work. And pretty much because those workers and those crews didn't want to show up and finish the job, everyone else had to suffer. That's kind of how it is with our bodies, these temples that God has given, and his church, the body of believers. God wants us to complete the work, continue to build one another up, and to be built up in faith. And if we don't, something very terrible can happen. Today we look at the book of Jude, and we consider how important it is, his closing words to God's people, as he speaks about the importance of building each other up in the faith, and also living out our Christian life in faith, and how vital that really is for each individual body and for the church as a body. As Jude writes, it's a rather short letter, but he says he wanted to write to them about the salvation we have, but felt compelled to warn them about the dangers. And to sum up the danger that Jude is writing against, it's probably something that sounds very familiar today. It's people take the grace of God, that is that they are forgiven, and they use that forgiveness as if it's a license to just go out and sin without second thought and to pile sin upon sin. Jude spends much of his letter warning about this. He speaks of the sexual immorality of the people around him who are like imitators of Sodom and Gomorrah with their sexual perversion. He speaks about those who speak against spiritual leaders without second thought and who blaspheme the name of God. And Jude says that these people, they will come following their own ungodly desires. They are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instinct and do not have the Spirit. So these unbelievers, these ungodly people, have made their way into the body of believers. And in the same way that a virus or bacteria causes your body to grow weak and fight off an infection, they were infiltrating the church and making it weak and not built up, but tearing it down. And Jude warns about this because he knows these ungodly people were warned about by the apostles, and they will continue to come. And maybe if you just take a step back and look at the church today, we can pretty much say Jude was right. There are people who are blemishes in our gatherings, who feed themselves. They are people who, though they claim to worship the Lord, follow natural instincts. They'll fundamentally say, love is all that matters, therefore you cannot judge me, or the way I decide I want to love someone else, as they turn aside from what God has given and use their bodies in ways that defy their God. We've seen this throughout the history of the church, and we see it still today in God's church. And that's why Jude warns and says, dear friends, he says, you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, and pray in the Holy Spirit. Really, the NIV does a good job translating. He says, by building yourselves up and by praying, keep yourselves in God's love. You know, there's not anything we can do to build God's church. It is already built by Christ. He brought us as the good shepherd into his flock. He made us his own. But Jude says, build yourselves up in that holy faith, that faith which God has given you. Don't just stop where you're at and invite in all the things that can tear down the building. He says, build yourselves up and keep praying in the Holy Spirit. Once again, the work is not ours, it's the Holy Spirit. As Jesus says, watch and pray so you don't fall into temptation. We rely on the power and work of God. And yet he says, build yourselves up. And he says, keep yourselves in God's love. As those who are a part of God's church in his house, not just this building here, but in the house of God, under his care and protection, God's people can step aside from their good shepherd. No, they cannot make themselves secure. God has already done that. But they can lose security. As they decide they're going to step aside from following their good shepherd, and they'll say, what, I'll be safe even if I walk through this dangerous area that I know is wrong. I'll be safe because the shepherd will have to rescue me. And time again, they put God to the test. They defy his word, and they trample over his grace and goodness. So James, or Jude, says here, keep yourselves in the most holy faith. Don't leave the goodness that God has given you. And how do you do this? He says, as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. What keeps believers in faith is this, that we look up. We look off of our own circumstance. We look away from all the things that we suffer, the guilt, the temptations, and we look up, and it says, we wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring us to eternal life. We stay strong in faith as we have that mindset, not that we live each day as if it's our last, live each day selfishly and defying our God, but no, we live each day like we are going to live forever, with our eyes on our Lord who sits living in heaven and who promises he will come again. And we wait for him not to come to save those who save themselves. No, we wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring us to eternal life. Jude really closes here with the Christian faith. The Christian is one who, yes, does stumble into sin, but does not stubbornly, headlong, fall into sin over and over, but rather is waiting for the mercy of God. And they know that when Jesus comes by his mercy, he will bring them to eternal life. This is what strengthens us and keeps us in the most holy faith. And this is how we remain in the love of God as we treasure his promise that he will come again. And what James describes next is really a threefold manner of how Christians. Firstly, he says, be merciful to those who doubt. This could be translated as those who are wavering in faith. We might say, I'm secure in God's love. I haven't headlong turned away from God and into that sin, but what about those who are wavering in faith? How do we respond to them? What about the believer who's built on the foundation of Christ, who's in God's house, but starts listening to that voice of those who deceive and want to tear down, and they start stepping aside from God's love? Jude says, show mercy to them. They are those who, yes, are in God's house, and just like you, they are capable of straying. And instead of building themselves up in faith, step aside from the faith. Maybe you know someone like this, someone who is wavering in faith. They're perhaps going to a Christian university and they start to hear this talk about how the Bible is not really reliable. And they begin to question and waver instead of trusting the most holy faith. Show mercy to them, Jude says. Give them patience. Let them be those who you mercifully call back to Christ. That's one tier. Jude wants us to deal with those who are in the church and who are wavering. But the next one, he says, save others by snatching them from the fire. What if someone's not simply wavering in faith, but has outright left their faith and has turned aside from following Christ to following this world? What about those that the Apostle Paul warns about when he says, don't be deceived, neither the drunkard, nor the swindler or slanderer, nor those who have sex, men who have sex with men, homosexual offenders, nor the greedy, nor thieves. None of these, he says, will inherit the kingdom of God. So what about those people that Paul is warning about, who had God's love, who would inherit it by grace, and yet decided day by day they're going to wake up and get drunk, that they're going to wake up and continue to feed their addiction without any repentance? Or those who wake up and decide that for whatever reason, the sexual sin that's taken hold of them is something they can't let go. And day by day, they wake up and say, I don't care what God says. I'm going to hold on to this sin. Maybe you know a Christian who's struggling with alcoholism, who's struggling with some sexual sin. God tells us that Christian has real danger, not simply of wavering in faith, not simply of not being built up, but rather in danger of the fire of hell. Jude says, save others by snatching them from the fire. When you see a fellow believer who's outright rejected the faith, it could be tempting to simply dismiss them or say, well, they'll be okay, or rather it's their own fault. But Jude tells us not only to build yourself up, show mercy to those who are wavering, and save those who are in danger of the fire of hell. Speak up when you see a fellow Christian in such danger. There's a picture in the Old Testament when the people of Israel returned back to temple worship. And this vision in the book of Zechariah has one of the priests, his name was Joshua, standing before the altar. But as Joshua approached the altar to serve God, the devil came. And the devil pointed to him and saw all the stains that Joshua, the high priest, was guilty of, and accused him of being unfit to serve God. So the angel of the Lord said, the Lord rebuke you, devil, because the Lord has chosen this one. And the Lord has snatched him out. And it describes Joshua the priest as a burning stick snatched out from the flames. That's what happens when someone is brought into the kingdom of God. They're brought from the dominion of darkness under the guilt and accusations of the devil, and they stand condemned under God's just and holy wrath and are condemned to the fires of hell. But God snatches them like a burning stick snatched out from the flames. That's what Jude says God's people are to do as they build themselves up. He says, save those who are wavering and save those who are like burning sticks who need to be snatched out of the fires. And how's that done? Tell them that same message. We wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus, who will bring us out of this world and out of condemnation. You have been bought by the blood of Christ and rescued from the fires of hell. And God has made you his own, so you no longer stand condemned. This world was under the curse of sin and the fires of hell. But God, in mercy, sent his Son. And the Holy Son of God came to this world to face the fires and the wrath in the place of sinners and to atone for their sin himself. He covered the price and released us from our imprisonment, released us from condemnation. Save others by snatching them from the fire. Do this as you speak a word of rebuke and warning in love and a word of hope and forgiveness in the gospel in love. But what about others? Jude has told us so far to deal with those in the church, to build up those who are wavering, show them mercy, give them patience and careful instruction, Jude has told us to save those who have really left the church because of some sin and have turned aside from the mercy of God and are no longer looking for Jesus to come again, but are stuck in that sin and condemnation. Jude says, save them. What about the rest of this world? What about the people who you know that they would just trample over your words, mock you, insult you, or maybe even harm you? Jude says, to others, that is to the rest, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Even to the unbelieving world that stands in defiance of God, even the unbelieving world that has so distorted the truth that their clothes are stained with guilt and sometimes literally stained with their own sin. God says through his apostle, he says, show them mercy. But don't misunderstand, as Jude says. Don't get comfortable with sin. As you show mercy to the unbelieving world, as you display great patience even to those who defy God in their life, don't do it in such a way that you tolerate or become comfortable with their sin. He says, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing that has been stained. Maybe you know somebody who's not only left the faith, but stands in strong opposition to God's word. God wants you to, yes, speak to them words of mercy. Invite them to hear and to know the goodness of God, that Christ died for the sins of the world, even their own sins. And that your God, you can tell them, desires you to turn from that sin to his great mercy. But don't do it in such a way that gives a license for sin or becomes comfortable with that sin. And you might, yes, fear the sin. You might hate the corrupted flesh and clothing, but show love and mercy to that sinner, as God has shown us time and again. Because there's only one way that we will stand before God when he comes again. Brothers and sisters, you will live forever. Listen to how you from falling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. God is able to do this. Despite the times where maybe we wavered in faith, despite the times where maybe we might have come close to the verge of being in the fires of condemnation and had to be brought out of it, even if you faced such a time, despite the times when you were covered in the guilt of your own sin, the Lord comes along. And though the devil might try to accuse you on the last day and say you're not worthy to stand before and serve your God, the Lord says, I will present you before my glorious presence without fault and with jubilation. You will stand before the presence of God, not because of what you've done, no, but because of the love of God and because of the mercy of our Lord. How could we ever turn aside from such goodness, from such love, and from such mercy? By the grace and gift of Christ, he will present you in his glorious presence forever as forgiven and clean. To this, to the only God, our Savior God, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Christ Jesus, our Lord. That glory is from before all ages. That glory is now in your life and as you show mercy to others by those who waver. Show mercy as you snatch others from the fire. Show mercy even as you hate the sin, but display God's glory and invitation of grace. To this, God, be glory now, and you're going to live forever. And glory be to that God forever. Until then, live without fear, live with God's mercy, and live praising him forever. Amen.